Hello everyone, it's Craig here.
And hi, it's hello from me, Reza.
Before we start the podcast this week, a quick announcement. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you everybody who went to Facebook and nominated us for the 2016 New Media Awards for podcasting in London. We got there, Reza. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes, thanks to you, we got into the top 10 of the category of audience appreciation. Thanks to all of those of you who voted for us on Facebook. But we have to ask you for another favor now for the final and second round of the voting. We need you to vote for us on Twitter. Craig, can you explain to our listeners how to do that, please?
Yes, the voting is happening now. It's happening until and including June the 10th. And if you have a Twitter account, just go to our website, inglespodcast.com. There's a big banner at the top of the page with awards. Click the banner. That will take you to a web page. In the category, you choose audience appreciation, and then us, we're number one on the list at the top, Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Click there, tweet, and that's your vote. If you could do that every day, well, four more days until the 10th of June, we'd really, really appreciate it.
As we said, it's for the Audience Appreciation Award. And what better way to show our appreciation, our thanks, by offering you the chance to win a prize? Craig, can you tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Yep, three prizes we're offering, two T-shirts and a small pair of speakers that connect to your mobile phone so you can listen to music and our podcast, of course. So we'll be choosing three random people who vote for us on Twitter. We will get your address and send you a prize in the post. So thank you very much. Let's start the podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig. Hello.
How are you, Craig?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
That's good.
And we hope you're all fine listening to us wherever you happen to be, at home, in your car, jogging, or however you listen to our podcast.
Walking the dog.
Walking the dog. If you're a new listener, you're especially welcome. We're glad to have you with us. We've been running for 105 episodes, and if you like this episode, it's your first time, why not download all of our previous episodes and catch up bit by bit? Just go to our website, inglespodcast.com, and off you go. It couldn't be easier.
What are we speaking about this week, Reza?
This week, we're going to help you talk about, of all things, engineering. Curious choice, you might think. But we were asked about it, and we like to respond to listener feedback. In fact, Craig, perhaps you could read out the feedback that we received about engineering from Pablo.
I will do, specifically about civil engineering. But before we do that, we have some audio feedback from Mamin. So let's listen to Mamin.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Reza. This is Mamin. I can't believe I forget to send you a message in your 100 podcast celebration. So congratulations, and I wish you keep doing this fantastic job for a long, long time. And I just want to say that you helped me with your podcast, not only with my English, also with my daily life, because you helped me to focus on something at the beginning and then on my English. So thank you very, very much. A big hug and a big kiss. Bye.
Thank you, Mamin. Thank you very much for sending us your message, and congratulations on our 100th episode. And I don't think she made any mistakes, did she? That was perfect.
It was nearly perfect. Just one little thing. I think you said, Mamin, something like, I wish, then you said that you continue, but you should say, I hope that you continue. Hope that you continue. Apart from that, I don't think you made any other mistakes.
It was really, really good. So well done. And thank you for sending us your feedback. Now, Pablo, who is a civil engineer, moved to the UK last January. And here's Pablo's message. I usually hear All Hours podcast.
Shouldn't he say listen to?
Yes, listen to. So I usually listen to all, not our podcast, your podcasts.
Yes, they're ours, Pablo. You're welcome to listen and download them, but they're ours. They're not yours.
They're not yours. So I usually listen to all your podcasts, and I think that it is a big help in order to improve my listening and vocabulary. Well, we do too. In this moment, I'm looking for a job as engineer.
At this moment? It's better, isn't it?
At this moment or at this time. I'm looking for a job as engineer.
An engineer. A teacher, an engineer, a policeman, your job.
There's always an indefinite article before a profession. So a teacher, a nurse, an engineer, an accountant. If the profession begins with a vowel sound, use an. So an engineer or an accountant. So Pablo says, I'm looking for a job as an engineer in Cambridge or around.
Don't you think it sounds better to say in or around Cambridge?
Yes, I agree. So I'm looking for a job as an engineer in Cambridge or around Cambridge. If you accept some ideas for the podcast, I would like that you talk someday about engineering.
I would like that doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
I would like you to talk. I would like plus the person, you plus infinitive. I would like you to talk.
I would like you to talk someday about engineering. Perhaps this topic is not too general in terms of vocabulary, but it's only an idea. Ha ha. I think you're doing a very good job with the podcasts. I hope to continue hearing it.
Listening to.
Okay. I hope you continue listening to them, because them is the object.
And listening to, because hopefully, Pablo, you make an effort, at least a little effort, when you listen to our podcast. That's listen to. Whereas here can be without an effort. Did you hear that noise? Did you hear it? Well, you didn't expect it, but you heard it. But you listen to the podcast because you expect you expect it. You download it and you listen to it.
Exactly. And it's the same. We've said this before. It's the similar idea of the difference between see and watch. You can see something because it's like a sense, like you're hearing. It's un sentido. So you see something with your eyes. But if you watch something, then you purposely, actively watch it. It's usually something moving. It's usually people moving, a game of football, or watch the television. But see, you could just see by accident. So thank you very much for your email, Pablo. And I checked the definition of civil engineering on Wikipedia. Civil engineering is a professional engineering discipline that deals with the design, construction, and maintenance of the physical and naturally built environment, including works like roads, bridges, canals, dams, and buildings. We're not going to look at a lot of civil engineering vocabulary, Pablo, but I will link to places I found on the internet which have lists of vocabulary and exercises that will help you with your profession. So if you are a civil engineer like Pablo, go to inglespodcast.com, where you will find links to web pages that help you with vocabulary. There's a dictionary and exercises in English for civil engineers.
If, like Pablo, you want to be very specialist about it, you could invest, you could spend money in a book. There's a very good book written about engineering called English for Engineering, and it's written by my old friend Jeremy Day. Well, he's the editor, I should say. It's co-authored by him and someone else, and it's published by Cambridge. No, I don't get any money for mentioning it, by the way. Don't be suspicious. It's just a very good book. I came across it by chance myself when I was teaching engineers.
What does come across mean?
To come across means without planning it, it happened.
You found it by accident.
By accident. Mm. Because I was told to teach a group of engineers at Queen's University in Belfast, and they suggested a certain book. I opened the book, and lo and behold, meaning, look at that, my old friend Jeremy Day, was the editor and co-author of the book. So it's, you would have to buy that book. There are no exercises online. But if you take engineering very seriously, if it's a profession and you want to get to a very high level of upper intermediate advanced, you could even buy that book that my old friend Jeremy wrote. I'll put in a link in the show notes.
It's a very, very good idea to invest money in your profession, in your future, in your career. So if you're a civil engineer or whatever your profession, make sure that you have books, that you do courses, and anything you can to improve your chances of getting a job or improving your job. So let's look at some vocabulary connected to civil engineering. How do you say grúa in English?
Crane.
It can be crane, but it can also be tow truck.
Of course. Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, crane you'd use in civil engineering for building bridges, roads, buildings, skyscrapers. It lifts very, it's very tall. It lifts very heavy materials. And a tow truck is what you need when your car breaks down. If you're on the motorway and you have car trouble, and your car stops, you phone a service, you phone a breakdown service. And the verb to tow is llevar en la grúa.
Yeah, or la grúa te lleva or something like that.
La grúa te lleva.
I don't think there's a verb.
So the tow truck tows your car, T-O-W.
And Craig, if you ended up in a ditch, where would you be?
A ditch, D-I-T-C-H. That's a nice word, ditch. Ditch is zanja, which I knew that, but I didn't know other words I found in the dictionary. Cuneta and acequia? Acequia. Did you know those words?
Yes, I did.
Is it acequia?
Acequia, yeah.
Oh, okay, acequia, okay. It's also a verb, isn't it, Reza?
Yes. To ditch means deshacerse de. For example, my bag was too heavy, so I ditched some clothes. I took out some clothes from the bag so it was lighter. So the idea of maybe coming from throwing the things in the ditch that you don't want, that's probably why we say to ditch. It doesn't mean specifically these days to throw things in a ditch. It just means deshacerse de.
And to use that in the passive, have you ever been ditched by a girl?
On more than one occasion.
Me too.
To be ditched by a girl or a boy is when you're left.
Deshacer
de él. So whenever you no longer want to be someone's boyfriend or girlfriend, you ditch them. Can you imagine like throwing them in the ditch?
I've fallen in a ditch a couple of times after a few beers, but I've never been thrown in a ditch. To ditch, the idea of draining, to drain, or a drain is desagüe. So ditches can sometimes be used for drainage, which is the noun. Mm-hmm. D-R-A-I-N-A-G-E, a drainage ditch.
Yes, that would be drenaje. Drenaje, drainage, yeah. But a drain is el desagüe. Mm-hmm. But the kind of activity that a civil engineer is interested in is drenaje. In general, drainage.
And if I said to you another use of drain, you look drained. What would I mean by that? You look drained today.
A bit like the water going down a drain. If I look drained, it's like the energy has gone out of me.
You look tired.
Yeah,
exhausted.
The energy's left me. I'm drained.
You're no color in your face. Your face is pale or white. You look drained. What's the matter? You didn't sleep well. Alcantarillado? Alcantarillado. Did I say that right?
Yes, that's right, as far as I can hear.
What does it mean?
That's a sewer. Sewer. That's S-E-W-E-R. So sewer, what you find under the ground, where the dirty water, etc. goes. very important for engineers to get the sewers built correctly. You need an important sewer system in your city.
You also sometimes find rats in the sewer.
Ratas, don't you?
And have you noticed in Valencia, when it rains very, very heavily, there are problems with drainage, with the drains, and water doesn't drain away? Have you noticed that?
Yes, and sometimes the sewers overflow. They overflow. That means there's poor drainage or too much water. So instead of staying down in the sewer, the water's coming up again over the top. That's to overflow.
And I said in the introduction that a civil engineer builds and deals with roads, bridges, canals and dams. So let's look at those words. A bridge, obviously, puente, but it's also a verb, to bridge, isn't it? You can bridge a river.
Mm-hmm. Build a bridge over it, or build something that enables you to cross it. But you also hear about bridging differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For example, two world leaders might have a problem, they don't agree. Might be a good idea to talk, to bridge their differences, to see if they can find a common way across the problem, let's say.
And if I said to you, don't burn your bridges, what would that mean?
Well, if you can imagine, listeners, if you crossed the river and then burnt the bridge, you couldn't cross back again.
You can't go back.
Now there's no bridge. So metaphorically, if you have a relationship with someone and then you fall out, well, then you can't rely on that person again. They can't help you get back across the river, so to speak, because you've told them to bugger off. Largarse. So you've burnt your bridges there.
So it's always a good idea to build bridges with people, to make contact, build relationships and build bridges. But I don't think it's a good idea to burn your bridges, because you never know when you might need some help from old contacts or friends. Presa is dam, D-A-M.
Oh, damn it, Craig.
That's different spelling, isn't it?
I've said something bad, haven't I? Yes, that's D-A-M-N. What's D-A-M presa then? What is that?
It stops the water. Stops the water, and it's also a verb, to dam, so you dam a river. I remember a few years ago I was in China and they were damming the Yangtze at some point, and they actually had to move people up the valley because when they dammed the river, some of the villages were covered with water. They actually flooded villages when they dammed the river.
Craig, imagine I was a gypsy or beggar asking for money from you in the street, and you said no. And then I say to you, Craig, I damn you and your children and their children for the rest of eternity. You will be poor and destitute. I've damned you. What have I done?
That's damn, D-A-M-N. So that's kind of like a curse, una maldición, if they say, damn you to hell. Damn you to hell.
It's maldecir.
Yeah.
Same pronunciation, different spelling, and nothing to do with engineering.
Talking about materials connected to engineering, there's sometimes confusion between metals. For example, acero is steel.
And what if it's stainless steel?
It doesn't stain. Stain is mancha. But do you know the difference in construction between steel and stainless steel?
I'm not quite sure how
to do it. So steel can rust. R-U-S-T, which is oxidar. And stainless steel doesn't rust, as far as I know. I think there's a thin cover of metal on the steel that protects it against rust, so it doesn't oxidize. Acero, steel, S-T-E-E-L, is sometimes confused with hierro, which is iron. I didn't roll my R's very well. I'll try again. Hierro.
Ah.
Better?
Excellent.
Hierro, for people who are criticizing my really bad Spanish accent. So iron, I-R-O-N, is hierro. It's also a verb, to iron, which is planchar. So you iron your shirts and you iron your clothes.
It's because una plancha is an iron, and planchar to iron, because originally they were made out of iron, although these days they're not.
But be careful of the difference between iron and steel. Superman, Man of Steel, isn't it? Also confusing.
Man of Steel is Stalin.
Is it Stalin?
That's, Stalin means man of steel. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah. No.
It's okay. not his real name. Can't remember his real name, but the famous Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin, as we call him in English. We don't know how to say it in Russian. Stalin means man of steel.
Not to be confused with the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher.
Ah, la dama de hierro, as the Spanish called her.
Anyway, we're on to politics. Let's go back to engineering. I get confused sometimes between the difference with the difference between concrete and cement. What's the difference, Reza?
Do you know what? I'm not quite sure, to be honest. Aren't they fairly similar? I couldn't tell you the technical difference.
I think, and maybe Pablo can correct us here if we're wrong, but cement is the actual like material, you know, the kind of grey material that you'd say in Spanish, cemento. Yeah. And when you mix cement with sand or sand and stones, it becomes concrete, which is hormigón.
Right.
I think that's the difference.
I didn't know that.
And obviously, cement is a verb also, to cement. So you can use it in the context of cementing a relationship.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means to close a relationship and make it firm, make it secure. So if you're doing business with a company and you cement the relationship, you could do that with a contract, for example. You could do that by agreeing, shaking hands. So you cement a relationship with someone.
And the word concrete, just like in Spanish, concreto can mean the adjective meaning definite, fixed, firm. For example, is this a concrete agreement? Es un acuerdo concreto, concretado. So we also have that meaning of concrete in English, of concreto in Spanish. So hormigón, the noun, and concreto, the adjective, concrete.
And cement, the material, is uncountable. So it's some cement. You know, I'm putting some cement in the wall of the house, for example. In the UK, houses are commonly made from bricks, B-R-I-C-K, ladrillos.
What's the, if I were to say to you, Craig, the Spanish word, un brick, what's the English word?
A carton, isn't it? Like a carton of milk?
Right.
Carton of cream?
Yep. So a brick is not un brick.
It's the same.
A brick is un ladrillo.
It's the same shape, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure,
but you wouldn't use it.
But it's not the same.
You wouldn't use it to build a house.
Yeah, don't try to build a house out of carton.
So,
it's a false friend, in other words, which causes Spaniards a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
very often Spaniards say to me, "I bought a brick of milk." No, you didn't. You bought a carton of milk.
If you freeze your carton of milk, it's like a brick.
As hard as a brick. That's a common expression. If something's very hard, it's as hard as a brick.
So brick can also be an adjective, so a brick house or a brick building. Yes, I'd like to tell you about something Reza and I quite like. It's called italki.com. It's a website that helps you find a quality teacher to teach you one-to-one over the internet. The italki teacher, when you find him or her, will help you with your fluency, help you with your English level. And it's very convenient because you can study with italki at home. It's also very affordable because you're not paying a language school. You're paying directly to the teacher. And there's that human connection of interacting with a person over Skype. Italki are offering listeners of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig a special deal of 100 free credits, which is more or less a free lesson with any teacher you choose. So if you'd like more information, please go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And Reza and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. On to tarmac. Tarmac is asfalto. That's T-A-R-M-A-C. Isn't it tarmac adam?
Yes, it's named a short version after of tarmac adam.
McAdam was the guy who invented it, I think.
Yep.
Tarmac.
That's right.
Have you ever been in a country that's so hot that the tarmac melted?
I haven't seen it happening, no. Have you?
Yeah, I have. When I was traveling around the Middle East,
right,
in Egypt and also in Israel, I saw it became sticky and actually started melting. You could literally take a stick and dig it up because it was so hot, it just melted, stuck to your shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tarmac. The noun or the verb to tarmac is to put down tarmac.
And the same as cement, tarmac is uncountable. So some tarmac. Reza, if you want to build a house, you could use ladders to climb up the walls, but it's more common to see outside things called andamio or andamios. How do you say that in English?
That's scaffolding.
Scaffolding. Mm-hmm. To scaffold a building. And walking in the street, tarmac's on the road, of course, but acera or pavimento, how do you say that in English?
Do you want me to be British or American?
Be both.
Well, if I was American, I'd probably say sidewalk.
Because you walk on the side of the road, so it's sidewalk, right?
But British people say pavement.
And there's a verb, to pave. So to pave is to put down pavement or pavimento. In Latin America, apparently, they call the pavement and then, right, which I suppose is logical because andar is to walk. Mm-hmm. But and then in Spanish, I always translate to platform. When I'm waiting for a train, I wait on the platform.
Yeah. So that's it for in English, beg your pardon. Platform is where you wait for things, for a train or something. It's not where you walk at the side of a street, not a pavement or sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. So you walk on the pavement. And also when you're constructing a building, an office block, a house or an apartment building, you need to make plans, don't you? You need to draw, usually now with a computer program, and plan out the construction before you physically start. So in Spanish, I think you'd say heliografía, anteproyecto. What would you say in English?
Blueprint, because originally these plans to build buildings were always blue, the color blue. So that's why they're called blueprints. I don't know if they're still blue, but they used to be.
I think these days it's all digitalized. So I know I've got a friend who's a civil engineer. He's actually working at the moment in South America. And he showed me his computer program. It looked really, really complicated. It's really expensive too. But the blueprints these days are done on software. I'm sure Pablo knows how to use that. Something that is not commonly done in Spain before you buy a house or a flat is a survey. Survey you may know as encuesta.
But hold on, I did one.
Did you do one?
Yeah.
The
bank obliged me to.
Really?
Yeah.
So there are companies in Spain, surveyors, that will survey your property. But was it just to get an evaluation, like a price of it, or was it to
get a mortgage from the bank.
But it wasn't to see if there's any structural problems with the building or anything that's dangerous.
To see if there are any structural problems with the flat, not the entire building, but with the flat, yeah.
I thought that was unusual. Okay, that surprises me.
I think it's standard practice because the bank's not going to let you have money to buy a flat that has a structural problem. So they demand that you have a survey.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they choose the surveyor, the person who's going to carry it out.
And you have to use that company or that person.
Yep. They don't trust you to get your own.
Right. The collocation with survey in this sense is to carry out or conduct a survey. Conduct a survey a little more formal, but to carry out means to do. So to carry out a survey on a flat or a house. We'd like to thank you for listening. And if you'd like to practice your English, please send us a voice message with a question or a comment or just to say hello. And you can do this by going to speakpipe.com. That's speakpipe/Inglés Podcast. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send it to me, Craig@InglésPodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza. That's BelfastReza@gmail.com.
And before we go, we'd just like to thank our sponsors, who are Lara, Sara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IVMV, Rafael, Danielle, and Manuel. Those people, our lovely sponsors, are sponsoring the show and helping us to save money for our transcriptions. If you'd like to become a sponsor, please go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. And on next week's episode, what do you think?
I have nothing. Any ideas? I think for next week's episode, we'll think of something in the meantime.
We'll surprise you. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
The music in this episode is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.